This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. Valentine's Day is not everybody's favorite holiday. People in relationships might feel unrealistic expectations to shower their loved ones with flowers and candy. People not in relationships may envy those who are. But haven't we all seen those couples in a restaurant or bar sitting at the same table with their faces in their phones? KUT's Jennifer Staten wanted to find out more about that, so she checked in with local psychotherapist and relationship intervention specialist Jonice Rockman and author and motivational speaker Rock Rockman, who happened to be husband and wife.
When you have an addiction, it's hard for you to put something away and put it down. So when you see people, for example, that are out on a date, their heads are down. They're not even engaging or looking in each other's eyes. Their heads are down, and even in some cases, they're communicating through their technology, texting each other,
commenting on each other's posts
right while they're sitting right in front of each other.
There's like a physiological aspect to it. There's a release of dopamine when we get that text back or that like, that heart or that share or that like or that comment. And that gives a sense of euphoria. But also from an identity standpoint, it also informs validation that so many of us are seeking.
Right.
That immediate gratification and validation.
Presumably, if we're with someone that we care about or like or are trying to get to know, all we would have to do would be to look up.
Exactly.
And we could get some validation in person?
We could get some there, but we can't get it at high speed and we can't get it from hundreds of people at one time.
I'm fascinated by that concept of the two people at the table on their smartphones or their devices commenting on each other's posts and messages.
Right.
My intuition and my inclination is to sort of go, ugh, and roll my eyes and say, I can't believe that. That's right. So rude or that's so weird. But if everybody is doing that, is that still bad and rude and weird? Or is that our new normal?
In a sense, it is the new norm. But just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. We have to begin to find a way to have some moderation.
And traditionally, I think our culture only thought about addiction in terms of like substance abuse.
Right.
We know like alcohol, we know that certain narcotics, you know, things like that. But there are behavioral addictions as well. And science and psychologists, we still haven't seen what the long-term outcome or fallout. And, you know, most of us, when we feel uncomfortable or feel stressed, we're designed in a way, you know, we have that fight, flight, or freeze reaction. But then after that, we want to figure out how can we cope. So for some people, maybe it is a way of coping with stress or anxiety. Or for some people, it's like, I don't feel really fabulous or charismatic in the real world. Right. But when I'm online or when I'm gaming, I do. So it may be a coping mechanism. What's sourcing it for each person may be a little different.
What is the impact that all of this has then on our relationships?
So I think it has positive and negative aspects because, you know, you have apps out there, dating apps, which are great ways to meet new people. But then, you know, because people create this image and don't get me wrong, people in just regular life interaction, when you first meet someone and there are five stages to a relationship, whether you meet through technology or you meet just in a regular human interaction, you're going to go through all of these stages and you're going to have your bumps and ups and downs. Mm-hmm. So the problem with technology,
overusage,
it takes you, I think, a little bit longer to know the real person.
And to work through those five stages.
And to work through those five stages, right?
Yeah.
So it's very important to make sure that, you know, if you are, you know, engaging with someone through some sort of technology device or, you know, social media, it's important that you really get to know that person for who they are.
I'm imagining there are couples where one of them uses and relies on technology more than the other, and there's not a balance there. Yeah. How do you know if that is an insurmountable problem in a relationship?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen excessive gaming break up relationships, you know.
Right.
So one thing that Rock was saying earlier today, though, he's like, if it's the technology that you feel like is causing the breakup, that's not really about.
Yeah.
There's probably some core issues going on.
Right.
It's just a symptom.
Yeah. Someone gaming too much or on their phone too much. Right. There's probably a root to that problem. If someone is too far gone where they're not engaging you at all in a relationship, you really can't just blame it on the technology. It's probably some depression there, maybe. There's probably something that they're hiding from. Can you strip down those barriers mm-hmm. and get to the core of what's really going on with that person?
Just like anything else, if there was like addictive behavior or an overdependency of something that's imbalancing the relationship, to try and give it some time to courageously and clearly ask for what it is that you need.
Right.
And then if you can, try and set up some boundaries.
Folks our age did not grow up with this technology. We are not technology natives. We didn't have phones from the very beginning. But our children, younger folks, are growing up in a time when that's a part of their lives from as long as they can remember. And it's a part of how they learn to be with others and form relationships. And I'm wondering if you can sort of forecast a longer term impact about what it will mean for relationships going forward as we have more and more generations of folks who this is all they know.
Mm-hmm. Advances in technology will benefit us in that more people of younger generations will sort of have access to information and opportunities to connect with people globally in a way that they could never do that before. Good. And they can also train and become specialized in things that they maybe would have had to, maybe perhaps couldn't afford to do, but they can access those kinds of things academically and educationally, you know, resources online. I think the other side of that is that I do sit down and I see a lot of clients that have severe like social anxiety issues because they say, I'm fine online. Right. Or like if I date online, I can do that. But if I see somebody at the store or library that I would like to talk to or go out on a date with, I will not say a word.
Wow. We have to teach our children how to ride bikes. We have to teach them how to change clothes and put a shirt on. And we can also teach them how to have balance in their life.
Rock and Janice Rockman, thank you so much for coming in and for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.